Ralph carried a fragment to the fire and watched the smoke that drifted into the dusk. We've got to keep it going. Eric flung himself down. I'm too tired. And what's the good? Eric, cried Ralph in a shocked voice. Don't talk like that. Sam knelt by Eric. Well, what is the good? Ralph tried indignantly to remember. There was something good about a fire. Something overwhelmingly good.
Ralph's told you often enough, said Piggy moodily. How else are we going to be rescued?
Of course.
If we don't make smoke...
He squatted before them in the crowding dusk. Don't you understand? What's the good of wishing for radios and boats? He held out his hand and twisted the fingers into a fist. There's only one thing we can do to get out of this mess. Anyone can play at hunting. Anyone can get us meat. He looked from face to face. Then, at the moment of greatest passion and conviction, that curtain flapped in his head, and he forgot what he had been driving at. He knelt there, his fist clenched, gazing solemnly from one to the other. Then the curtain whisked back.
Oh, yes. So we've got to make smoke, and more smoke.
But we can't keep it going. Look at that.
The fire was dying on them. Two to mind the fire, said Ralph, half to himself.
That's 12 hours a day. We can't get any more wood, Ralph. Not in the dark. Not at night.
We can light it every morning, said Piggy. Nobody ain't going to see smoke in the dark.
Sam nodded vigorously. It was different when the fire was up there. Ralph stood up, feeling curiously defenceless with the darkness pressing in. Let the fire go, then, for tonight. He led the way to the first shelter, which still stood, though battered. The bed leaves lay within, dry and noisy to the touch. In the next shelter, a little un was talking in his sleep. The four big uns crept into the shelter and burrowed under the leaves. The twins lay together, and Ralph and Piggy at the other end. For a while there was the continual creak and rustle of leaves as they tried for comfort. Piggy.
Yeah?
All right.
Suppose so.
At length, save for an occasional rustle, the shelter was silent. An oblong of blackness, relieved with brilliant spangles, hung before them, and there was the hollow sound of surf on the reef. Ralph settled himself for his nightly game of supposing. Supposing they could be transported home by jet, then before morning they would land at that big airfield in Wiltshire. They would go by car. No, for things to be perfect, they would go by train, all the way down to Devon, and take that cottage again. Then at the foot of the garden the wild ponies would come and look over the wall. Ralph turned restlessly in the leaves. Dartmoor was wild, and so were the ponies. But the attraction of wildness had gone. His mind skated to a consideration of a tamed town where savagery could not set foot. What could be safer than the bus centre, with its lamps and wheels? All at once Ralph was dancing round a lamp standard. There was a bus crawling out of the bus station. A strange bus.
Ralph! Ralph!
What is it?
Don't make a noise like that!
Sorry.
From the darkness at the further end of the shelter came a dreadful moaning, and they shattered the leaves in their fear. Sam and Eric, locked in an embrace, were fighting each other.
Sam! Sam!
Hey, Eric!
Presently all was quiet again. Piggy spoke softly to Ralph.
We got to get out of this.
What do you mean?
Get rescued.
For the first time that day, and despite the crowding blackness, Ralph sniggered.
I mean it, whispered Piggy. If we don't get home soon, we'll be balmy.
Round the bend.
Bomb happy. Crackers.
Ralph pushed the damp tendrils of hair out of his eyes.
You write a letter to your auntie.
Piggy considered this solemnly.
I don't know where she is now. And I haven't got an envelope and a stamp. And there isn't a pillar box. Or a postman.
The success of his tiny joke overcame Ralph. His sniggers became uncontrollable. His body jumped and twitched. Piggy rebuked him with dignity.
I haven't said anything all that funny.
Ralph continued to snigger, though his chest hurt. His twitchings exhausted him till he lay breathless and woebegone, waiting for the next spasm. During one of these pauses, he was ambushed by sleep.
Ralph, you've been making a noise again. Do be quiet, Ralph, because...
Ralph heaved over among the leaves. He had reason to be thankful that his dream was broken, for the bus had been nearer and more distinct. Why, because...
Be quiet and listen.
Ralph lay down carefully, to the accompaniment of a long sigh from the leaves. Eric moaned something, and then lay still. The darkness, save for the useless oblong of stars, was blanket thick. I can't hear anything.
There's something moving outside.
Ralph's head prickled. The sound of his blood drowned all else, and then subsided. I still can't hear anything.
Listen. Listen for a long time.
Quite clearly and emphatically, and only a yard or so away from the back of the shelter, a stick cracked. The blood roared again in Ralph's ears. Confused images chased each other through his mind. A composite of these things was prowling round the shelters. He could feel Piggy's head against his shoulder, and the convulsive grip of a hand.
Ralph! Ralph! Shut up and listen.
Desperately, Ralph prayed that the beast would prefer Littlens. A voice whispered horribly outside.
Piggy! Piggy!
It's come, gasped Piggy. It's real.
He clung to Ralph and reached to get his breath.
Piggy! Come out the side. I want you, Piggy.
Ralph's mouth was against Piggy's ear.
Don't say anything. Piggy! Where are you, Piggy?
Something brushed against the back of the shelter. Piggy kept still for a moment. Then he had his asthma. He arched his back and crashed among the leaves with his legs. Ralph rolled away from him. Then there was a vicious snarling in the mouth of the shelter and the plunge and thump of living things. Someone tripped over Ralph, and Piggy's corner became a complication of snarls and crashes and flying limbs. Ralph hit out. Then he and what seemed like a dozen others were rolling over and over, hitting, biting, scratching. He was torn and jolted, found fingers in his mouth and bit them. A fist withdrew and came back like a piston, so that the whole shelter exploded into light. Ralph twisted sideways on top of a writhing body and felt hot breath on his cheek. He began to pound the mouth below him, using his clenched fist as a hammer. He hit with more and more passionate hysteria as the face became slippery. A knee jerked up between his legs, and he fell sideways, busying himself with his pain, and the fight rolled over him. Then the shelter collapsed with smothering finality, and the anonymous shapes fought their way out and through. Dark figures drew themselves out of the wreckage and flitted away, till the screams of the little ones and Piggy's gasps were once more audible. Ralph called out in a quavering voice,
All you little ones, go to sleep. We've had a fight with the others. Now go to sleep.
Sam Nerick came close and peered at Ralph.
Are you two all right?
I think so. I got busted.
So did I. How's Piggy?
They hauled Piggy clear of the wreckage and leaned him against a tree. The night was cool and purged of immediate terror. Piggy's breathing was a little easier.
Did you get hurt, Piggy?
Not much.
That was Jack and his hunters, said Ralph bitterly.
Why can't they leave us alone?
We gave them something to think about, said Sam.
Honesty compelled him to go on.
At least you did. I got mixed up with myself in a corner.
I gave one of them what for, said Ralph. I smashed him up all right. He won't want to come and fight us again in a hurry.
So did I,
said Eric. "When I woke up, one was kicking me in the face. I got an awful bloody face, I think, Ralph.
But I did him in the end."
"What did you do?"
"I got my knee up," said Eric, with a simple pride. "And I hit him with it in the pills. You should have heard him holler. He won't come back in a hurry either. So we didn't do too badly."
Ralph moved suddenly in the dark. But then he heard Eric working at his mouth. "What's the matter?"
"Just a tooth loose."
Piggy drew up his legs. "You all right, Piggy?"
"I thought they wanted the conch."
Ralph trotted down the pale beach and jumped onto the platform. The conch still glimmered by the chief's seat. He gazed for a moment or two, then went back to Piggy.
"They didn't take the conch."
"I know. They didn't come for the conch. They came for something else. Ralph, what am I going to do?"
Far off along the bow stave of beach, three figures trotted towards the castle rock. They kept away from the forest and down by the water. Occasionally they sang softly. Occasionally they turned cartwheels down by the moving streak of phosphorescence. The chief led them, trotting steadily, exulting in his achievement. He was a chief now, in truth, and he made stabbing motions with his spear. From his left hand dangled Piggy's broken glasses. End of Disc 5. Lord of the Flies, Disc 6. Chapter 11. Castle Rock. In the short chill of dawn, the four boys gathered round the black smudge where the fire had been, while Ralph knelt and blew. Grey feathery ashes scurried hither and thither at his breath, but no spark shone among them. The twins watched anxiously, and Piggy sat expressionless behind the luminous wall of his myopia. Ralph continued to blow till his ears were singing with the effort, but then the first breeze of dawn took the job off his hands and blinded him with ashes. He squatted back, swore, and rubbed water out of his eyes. No use. Eric looked down at him through a mask of dried blood. Piggy peered in the general direction of Ralph.
"Course it's no use, Ralph. Now we got no fire."
Ralph brought his face within a couple of feet of Piggy's. "Can you see me?"
"A bit."
Ralph allowed the swollen flap of his cheek to close his eye again.
"They've got our fire!"
Rage shrilled in his voice.
"They stole it! That's them," said Piggy. "They blinded me, see? That's Jack married you. You call an assembly, Ralph. We've got to decide what to do."
"An assembly for only us?"
"It's all we got. Sam, let me hold on to you."
They went towards the platform.
"Blow the conch," said Piggy. "Blow as loud as you can."
The forest re-echoed, and birds lifted, crying out of the treetops, as on that first morning ages ago. Both ways the beach was deserted. Some little ones came from the shelters. Ralph sat down on the polished trunk, and the three others stood before him. He nodded, and Sam Nerick sat down on the right. Ralph pushed the conch into Piggy's hands. He held the shining thing carefully, and blinked at Ralph. "Go on, then."
"I just take the conch to say this. I can't see no more, and I got to get my glasses back. Awful things has been done on this island. I voted for you for chief. He's the only one who ever got anything done. So now you speak, Ralph, and tell us what you're else."
Piggy broke off, snivelling. Ralph took back the conch as he sat down.
"Just an ordinary fire. You'd think we could do that, wouldn't you? Just a smoke signal so we can be rescued. Are we savages or what? Only now there's no signal going up. Ships may be passing. Do you remember how he went hunting and the fire went out and a ship passed by? And they all think he's best as chief. Then there was... Well, that's his fault too.
If it hadn't been for him, it would never have happened. Now Piggy can't see. And they came, stealing...
Ralph's voice ran up.
At night, in darkness, and stole our fire. They stole it. We'd have given them fire if they'd asked, but they stole it, and the signal's out, and we can't ever be rescued. Don't you see what I mean? We'd have given them fire for themselves, only they stole it.
He paused lamely as the curtain flickered in his brain. Piggy held out his hands for the conch.
What are you going to do, Ralph? This is just talk without deciding. I want my glasses.
I'm trying to think. Supposing we go looking like we used to, washed and hair-brushed. After all, we aren't savages, really. And being rescued isn't a game.
He opened the flap of his cheek and looked at the twins.
We could smarten up a bit and then go.
We ought to take spears, said Sam. Even Piggy, because we may need them.
You haven't got the conch.
Piggy held up the shell.
You can take spears if you want, but I shan't. What's the good? I'll have to be led like a dog anyhow. Yes, laugh. Go on, laugh. There's them on this island as would laugh at anything. And what happened? What's grown-ups going to think? Young Simon was murdered. And there was that other kid what had a mark on his face. Who's seen him since we first come here?
Piggy, stop a minute.
I got the conch. I'm going to that Jack Meridew and tell him I am.
You'll get hurt.
What can he do more than he has? I'll tell him what's what. You let me carry the conch, Ralph. I'll show him the one thing he hasn't got.
Piggy paused for a moment and peered round at the dim figures. The shape of the old assembly, trodden in the grass, listened to him.
I'm going to him with this conch in my hands. I'm going to hold it out. Look, I'm going to say, you're stronger than I am and you haven't got asthma. You can see, I'm going to say, and with both eyes. But I don't ask for my glasses back, not as a favour. I don't ask you to be a sport, I'll say. Not because you're strong, but because what's right's right. Give me my glasses, I'm going to say. You got to!
Piggy ended, flushed and trembling. He pushed the conch quickly into Ralph's hands, as though in a hurry to be rid of it, and wiped the tears from his eyes. The green light was gentle about them, and the conch lay at Ralph's feet, fragile and white. A single drop of water that had escaped Piggy's fingers now flashed on the delicate curve, like a star. At last Ralph sat up straight and drew back his hair.
All right. I mean, you can try if you like. We'll go with you.
He'll be painted,
said Sam timidly.
You know how he'll be. He won't think much of us. If he gets waxy, we've had it.
Ralph scowled at Sam. Dimly he remembered something that Simon had said to him once, by the rocks.
Don't be silly, he said. And then he added quickly, let's go.
He held out the conch to Piggy, who flushed, this time with pride.
You must carry it.
When we're ready, I'll carry it.
Piggy sought in his mind for words to convey his passionate willingness to carry the conch against all odds.
I don't mind. I'll be glad, Ralph. Only I'll have to be led.
Ralph put the conch back on the shining log. We better eat, and then get ready. They made their way to the devastated fruit trees. Piggy was helped to his food and found some by touch. While they ate, Ralph thought of the afternoon.
We'll be like we were.
We'll wash. Sam gulped down a mouthful and protested.
But we bathe every day.
Ralph looked at the filthy objects before him and sighed.
We ought to comb our hair, only it's too long. I've got both socks left in the shelter, said Eric, so we could pull them over our heads like caps, sort of.
We could find some stuff, said Piggy, and tie your hair back.
Like a girl?
No, of course not.
Then we must go as we are, said Ralph. And they won't be any better.
Eric made a detaining gesture.
But they'll be painted. You know how it is.
The others nodded. They understood only too well the liberation into savagery that the concealing paint brought.
"Well, we won't be painted," said Ralph, "because we aren't savages."
Sam Nerick looked at each other.
All the same, Ralph shouted, "No paint!"
He tried to remember. "Smoke," he said. "We want smoke."
He turned on the twins fiercely. "I said, smoke! We've got to have smoke!"
There was silence, except for the multitudinous murmur of the bees. At last Piggy spoke kindly.
"Course we have, 'cause the smoke's a signal, and we can't be rescued if we don't have smoke."
"I knew that!" shouted Ralph. He pulled his arm away from Piggy.
"Are you suggesting—" "I'm just saying what you always say," said Piggy hastily. "I thought for a moment—"
"I hadn't," said Ralph loudly. "I knew all the time. I hadn't forgotten."
Piggy nodded propitiatingly.
"You're chief, Ralph. You remember everything."
"I hadn't forgotten."
"Course not."
The twins were examining Ralph curiously, as though they were seeing him for the first time. They set off along the beach in formation. Ralph went first, limping a little, his spear carried over one shoulder. He saw things partially through the tremble of the heat haze over the flashing sands and his own long hair and injuries. Behind him came the twins, worried now for a while, but full of unquenchable vitality. They said little, but trailed the butts of their wooden spears. For Piggy had found that, looking down, shielding his tired sight from the sun, he could just see these moving along the sand. He walked between the trailing butts, therefore, the conch held carefully between his two hands. The boys made a compact little group that moved over the beach, four plate-like shadows dancing and mingling beneath them. There was no sign left of the storm, and the beach was swept clean like a blade that has been scoured. The sky and the mountain were at an immense distance, shimmering in the heat, and the reef was lifted by mirage, floating in a kind of silver pool halfway up the sky. They passed the place where the tribe had danced. The charred sticks still lay on the rocks where the rain had quenched them, but the sand by the water was smooth again. They passed this in silence. No one doubted that the tribe would be found at Castle Rock, and when they came in sight of it, they stopped with one accord. The densest tangle on the island, a mass of twisted stems, black and green and impenetrable, lay on their left, and tall grass swayed before them. Now Ralph went forward. Here was the crushed grass where they had all lain when he had gone to prospect. There was the neck of land, the ledge skirting the rock. Up there were the red pinnacles. Sam touched his arm.
Smoke.
There was a tiny smudge of smoke wavering into the air on the other side of the rock.
Some fire, I don't think.
Ralph turned. What are we hiding for? He stepped through the screen of grass onto the little open space that led to the narrow neck. You two follow behind. I'll go first, then Piggy a pace behind me. Keep your spears ready. Piggy peered anxiously into the luminous veil that hung between him and the world.
Is it safe? Ain't there a cliff? I can hear the sea.
You keep right close to me.
Ralph moved forward onto the neck. He kicked a stone, and it bounded into the water. Then the sea sucked down, revealing a red, weedy square 40 feet beneath Ralph's left arm.
Am I safe?
Quavered Piggy.
I feel awful.
High above them, from the pinnacles, came a sudden shout, and then an imitation war cry that was answered by a dozen voices from behind the rock.
Give me the conch, and stay still.
Halt! Who goes there?
Ralph bent back his head and glimpsed Roger's dark face at the top.
"You can see who I am!" he shouted. "Stop being silly!"
He put the conch to his lips and began to blow. Savages appeared, painted out of recognition, edging round the ledge towards the neck. They carried spears and disposed themselves to defend the entrance. Ralph went on blowing and ignored Piggy's terrors. Roger was shouting,
"You mind out, see?"
At length Ralph took his lips away and paused to get his breath back. His first words were a gasp, but audible,
"Calling an assembly."
The savages guarding the neck muttered among themselves, but made no motion. Ralph walked forward a couple of steps. A voice whispered urgently behind him,
"Don't leave me, Ralph!"
"You kneel down," said Ralph sideways, "and wait till I come back." He stood halfway along the neck and gazed at the savages intently. Freed by the paint, they had tied their hair back and were more comfortable than he was. Ralph made a resolution to tie his own back afterwards. Indeed, he felt like telling them to wait and doing it there and then. But that was impossible. The savages sniggered a bit, and one gestured at Ralph with his spear. High above, Roger took his hands off the lever and leaned out to see what was going on. The boys on the neck stood in a pool of their own shadow, diminished to shaggy heads. Piggy crouched, his back shapeless as a sack.
"I'm calling an assembly."
Silence. Roger took up a small stone and flung it between the twins, aiming to miss. They started, and Sam only just kept his footing. Some source of power began to pulse in Roger's body. Ralph spoke again, loudly.
"I'm calling an assembly."
He ran his eye over them.
"Where's Jack?"
The group of boys stirred and consulted. A painted face spoke with the voice of Robert.
"He's hunting, and he said we weren't to let you in."
"I've come to see you about the fire," said Ralph, "and about Piggy's specs."
The group in front of him shifted, and laughter shivered outwards from among them, light, excited laughter that went echoing among the tall rocks. A voice spoke from behind Ralph.
"What do you want?"
The twins made a bolt past Ralph and got between him and the entry. He turned quickly. Jack, identifiable by personality and red hair, was advancing from the forest. A hunter crouched on either side. All three were masked in black and green. Behind them on the grass, the headless and paunched body of a sow lay where they had dropped it.
Piggy wailed, "Ralph, don't leave me!"
With ludicrous care, he embraced the rock, pressing himself to it above the sucking sea. The sniggering of the savages became a loud, derisive jeer. Jack shouted above the noise,
"You go away, Ralph! You keep to your end! This is my end and my tribe! You leave me alone!"
The jeering died away.
"You pinched Piggy's specs," said Ralph breathlessly. "You've got to give them back."
"Got to? Who says?"
Ralph's temper blazed out.
"I say, you voted for me for chief. Didn't you hear the conch? You played a dirty trick. We'd have given you fire if you'd asked for it."
The blood was flowing in his cheeks and the bunged up eye throbbed.
"You could have had fire whenever you wanted, but you didn't. You came sneaking up like a thief and stole Piggy's glasses."
"Say that again."
"Thief! Thief!"
Piggy screamed, "Ralph, mind me!"
Jack made a rush and stabbed at Ralph's chest with his spear. Ralph sensed the position of the weapon from the glimpse he caught of Jack's arm and put the thrust aside with his own butt. Then he brought the end round and caught Jack a stinger across the ear. They were chest to chest, breathing fiercely, pushing and glaring.
"Who's a thief? You are!"
Jack wrenched free and swung at Ralph with his spear. By common consent, they were using the spears as sabres now, no longer daring the lethal points. The blow struck Ralph's spear and slid down to fall agonizingly on his fingers. They were apart once more, their positions reversed, Jack towards the castle rock and Ralph on the outside towards the island. Both boys were breathing very heavily.
"Come on, then! Come on!"
Truculently they squared up to each other, but kept just out of fighting distance.
"You come and see what you get! You come on!"
Piggy, clutching the ground, was trying to attract Ralph's attention. Ralph moved, bent down, kept a wary eye on Jack.
"Ralph, remember what we came for? The fire? My specs!"
Ralph nodded. He relaxed his fighting muscles, stood easily, and grounded the butt of his spear.